Let's do it. We've got two more left in this series. Good morning. And you say, let's talk. Remember, when we left last week, we were in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel. And this was the time where the second apology from Saul. Remember, Saul had got religion all of a sudden when he was found out. And David was kind of making fun. Hey, you know, what happened to your guards? They're not doing a great job. And he makes all these apologies. And I read this statement from chapter 27, verse 1. So he's apologizing and he's saying, oh, it'll never happen again. Well, in verse 1, but David kept thinking to himself, someday Saul is going to get me. How many of you know he heard the apologies, he heard everything, but he knew someday Saul is going to get me, and he did not want to put up with that at all. So what did he do? He escaped. But what did he do in his fear? He made a mistake. He ran off and started to live among the Philistines. That's not bright. He said, maybe Saul will stop hunting me. Well, we know that he met with the king, and the king in verse 6 says he gave him the town of Ziklag so his family could stay there. I love the rest of this story. This is the most fun story, I think, in this whole book, because this is not just a story of where it fits. This is a revelation on how we should live. I was actually going there a few minutes ago when I was talking to you, and we were singing the song that we sang. It's important to be strong and speak the word in Jesus' name. David had performed well for a year and 4 months. He was with the Philistines. He had done a great job. His group had gone, not everybody's happy, but it's okay. It's all right. It's quite okay. And he performed great, great things, but something was not quite right. Remember, the mob mentality said, we don't want him here, and threw him out. Well, here we are. This story is a great story that encompasses, this concept encompasses all the testaments of the scripture. 1 Samuel 30. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at the town of Ziklag. By the way, Ziklag was a strategic place that had been given to them. And it was given to him actually by the son of the king of Gath. You know who was also from Gath? Goliath. So how many of you know they can smile, but you be careful. You can't sit down. You can't sit down and smile with something that is already against you and already committed to beat your brains out. So here's what happened. They found the Amalekites had made a raid. They crushed Ziklag. They burned it to the ground. They carried off the women and the children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. That's an unusual thing right there. When David and his men saw the ruins, they realized what had happened to their families. They wept until they could weep no more. Can I just stop here and point out this thing? When you're in your difficulty, tears alone will not remedy a situation. Tears, now God hears the tears. Great gospel songs. My friend Gordon Jensen, 30, 40 years ago, wrote a great lyric that said, tears are a language that God understands. I think that's a great line. But tears alone do not solve a situation. We need a supernatural intervention of God. Well, verse 5 said it this way, David's two wives were among those who were captured. That's going to be an interesting thought down the road. David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter. And they were bitter about losing their sons and daughters. Do you remember that this same parallel happened every time something happened with Moses and Aaron? And every time things turned south a little bit, it was kill the leader. That's still today. I'll just tell you that right now. When it goes a little south, let's kill the leader. Let's take them out. So it says they talked about stoning David. Now, it said here, I was reading the New Living, it said David was now in danger, and they began to talk of stoning him. I like the New King James verbiage better than the New Living right there. The New King James says it this way, David was greatly distressed. How many of you know he is stressed? How many times have we read the words later on, even in Psalms, where David said, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. Number one, distress is very real. You're not going to be immune to distress. I hate to disillusion you if you think it's all going to be, but there will be distressing moments. David was greatly distressed. And how many times have you read in Psalms where the verbiage was either, and in my distress I called, or even when David says that great psalm, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and he delivered me from all of my fears. And what about David's men? King James says it this way, the souls of all the people were grieved. You know why they were grieved? Not just because they were missing, because they knew what those Amalekites were going to do. They knew what they were capable of doing. They knew historically the way the Amalekites, I've told you before, they were the Klingons of this age right here, right? And they knew what they would be there. But notice the flesh response when things are difficult, when disappointment comes. The first response to someone who is not thinking covenant says, let's stone David. Let's kill him. Let's do this. Let's take it. But David's first response as a covenant man, one who had discernment, the first thing he did in his distress, he cried out to the Lord. That will be a test to you that when you're distressed, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Lord, please help. But there might be some in here that might want, well, let's take them out and then, Lord, you help them later. David's first response as a God follower was God help. I love this, verse 6b, the second half of the verse 6. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. But again, I think I like the New King James better. The New King James says it this way. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Say that with me. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Yet there are times when you're alone and you're just going to have to, out of your mouth, you're going to have to start speaking those words. He did it. Again, I told you, this is not only a historic message. This is a message you can live by today, tomorrow, and 5, 6, 7 months down the road. And right here, we're seeing not just history of what David did, but we're seeing a precedent for us as covenant kids. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He ran to the word. David went to the only source of his strength. I'm not talking about the world today. I wish the church could remember this. I wish the church of America could do this right now. In distress, go to the Lord. Needing discernment is an ongoing challenge. Discernment has been a thread we've been on 4 or 5 weeks right now. Well, I gotta have some help. There are times you might not have it. You better start speaking the word. Do you know that the book right before Revelation deals with this same concept that David went through? If you look at verse number 20 in Jude, it says, but you, beloved, that's talking about y'all. This is talking about maintain. Maintain. How do you maintain the word? How do you maintain the strength? He said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep, now notice these things. It's not magic. You know, a lot of people want magic, and it's no magic. He said, but keep yourselves in the love of God. At the same time, your focus is you are looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's not a one-time thing we put on. It is a life. It is a lifestyle. It's the word of God. This bitter trial did one thing that's very, very important, and bitter trials will do this. You're either going to want to stone somebody or you're going to run from God. This bitter trial brought David back again, face to face with God. Trials are difficult. Oh, I hate those tribulation worketh patience scriptures. You know, when I take over and I rewrite the scripture, I'm taking out those things. I don't want tribulations. I don't want sorrows. I don't want tears. I want the end of the book where it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't want that. John Piper said it this way. Suffering is a great seminary. That's no fun, is it? You know, I put that up there and there wasn't a shout. There wasn't an amen. Nobody's taking a screen grab of it. There's nothing there. I put some things up there. Oh, yeah, did you see that? They're taking... Suffering is a great seminary. Oh, yeah, right. What's next? Let's keep going. I don't want to hear those things. David was in the seminary of his life. David was in the seminary of his life. He was learning, somebody said, the hard way. Well, it picks up in verse 7. Then he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring me the ephod. Now, again, this shows that he's understanding because he is preparing himself for the presence of God. This is a big truth here. This is a big truth in your distress. You start preparing yourself to walk into the presence of God and to speak the presence of God. You don't have to go to some special place, but there is a place you go to in here. There's a place we go to here. There's a place that I go to that I run. So the word says, so he brought it to him. And notice this again, watch this. I can't say this enough. You're not only reading history, but you are learning how to respond with your life. Okay. And notice it said, and then David asked the Lord, stop right there. Do you remember when Saul inquired of the Lord, and Saul heard crickets from the Lord. How many times did we read in the last few weeks and Saul cried out to God and God did not answer? Or God answered and told him something that scared him to death, that put him in line, that reaffirmed the word that Samuel said the day he hewed Agag right in front of his eyes. What God said, God never has to back up on what he said. We were watching a TV show the other night, somebody said something, and the PR guy says, you need to back that up a little bit, back off that a little bit. Well, God never has to back up on anything that he said. God never has to back up. And notice that statement there. David inquired of the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yet God answered. What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful statement. God answered him. That's the best thing you can hear in this word today. It's beautiful. Yes, go after them. And you will surely recover everything that was taken from you. My memory work for all the years, that's why I've referred to it twice, I'll do it for a third time, is the New King James of my original memory work. And here's what it said instead of New Living saying David asked the Lord. It says, and David inquired of the Lord. I love inquired. They really inquired about you. Yeah, we've sung that around here for years. And they all asked for, he asked for God right here. Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I over? And God answered him. And God gives him three words that I hope will rock you to your feet, will rock you to your core, and will keep you in your most difficult times when you're inquiring of the Lord. The Lord said, pursue him, for you shall overtake, and without fail you will recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. But before, and we jump up and down and we smile, isn't that great? Praise God. But step one was that he inquired of the Lord. He went to the Lord's presence. How many times do we miss that step? How many times do we miss that step and go past, come on, Lord, do something for me. And David was always listening to what God will say. Someone said one time, you know, it's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. And that's the way we are a lot of times. I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but I could help God if he'd listen to me sometimes. I could help him. I mean, I really could. God, you know, look, just listen and I'll handle it. No, it's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want to say. With all the clamor in the world right now, it's important that we learn how to cut the clamor off. That we cut the clamor off. How many of you are at the age right now when you start hearing too much? How many of you are at the age right now when you're driving and looking for an address with your eyes, you have to turn the radio down? Anybody there? Now, I don't know what that means. Dennis, you're going down the road, you're looking for an address, and you turn the radio down. What does that have to do with it? You're trying to think clearly. You don't need all this stimulus coming through your head right now. But turn that thing down first right there. And my ADD is so bad, I got to have a little music on sometimes, just a little something going on or whatever like that. But we all do it. We all do it. And I've done it by myself, and I start laughing. And it's amazing. And that's the way God said, would you turn the radio down? I'm trying to talk to you right now. I'm trying to give this to you. Now at this point, when David heard this word, this is going to happen. He was moving under the command of God. God had given him two things in this statement. Ready? God had given him a promise, and God had also given him a roadmap. I'm going to recover everything, it's going to be all right, but here is how you're going to do it. He gave it to him in three steps. Pursue. Pursue means get up, get busy. Get busy, or as TD says, get ready. Get busy, move. We are ready to rumble. I mean, this is what's going on. Now, I love overtake. Overtake. The other group was not moving in purpose, and I'll be able to explain that in a minute. They were scattered abroad because they were an unruly people. But overtake, I love a picture. I think I did this one other time before. I like the idea of overtake. And here they are, and overtake is not just pursuing them, but overtake, you get to the point where you start making progress, and you get to the point where you can reach out like a defensive back catching somebody, and you can overtake them and grab them and take them down. Overtake them. Take them down. Do it. And recover all. I think I don't think David had a problem believing God for the pursue. I don't have David had a problem with God's word of overtake. But I think his antennas went up on the, maybe he was questioning, is God right? You see, God said in the last part of verse 8, he said, you will surely recover everything they've taken from you. Now, one of the reasons the men were wailing, they knew how savage these people were. They would go like locusts and just wipe out lands, wipe out people, kill all their animals, recover all. I don't know if David is quite sure, but David had to come to a point where saying, God, I'm going to take your word for it. So verse 9, he takes 600 of his men to set out. What does that mean? To pursue, y'all. And it says they came to the brook, and they had gone about 15 miles south of Ziklag. They were pressing, they were riding hard. They were riding so hard that in the middle of it, 200 men said, hey, wait, we just can't do this. Well, as a leader, you're thinking, my Lord, I've only got 600. I've got to go fight in 200 of these people. They want to sit and stop. Well, I'm really having a problem with these people right now. I'm having a problem. Well, you see what happens here, and God is going to really be teaching a lesson. And y'all need to know this. There's some good people that love the Lord, but they're not going to make the trip. Because when they find out how hard they have to work, how hard they have to march, how hard they have to fight, they're going to slow down there, and they're weak in their heart. But it says, and David continued, he took 400 men. Now the Holy Spirit's going to drop a breadcrumb on them to help them out a little bit. Along the way, they find an Egyptian man in the field. They brought him to David. They gave him some bread and water, and they also gave him part of a cake and other things to eat. He hadn't anything to eat or drink for 3 days and three nights. And before long, as he sat there, his strength began to return. And David leans in. He knew the kid was not in a shape to talk. So David gets there, and he begins to say, to whom do you belong? Where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian. I'm a slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the territory, and we had just burned Ziklag. And he said, and David said, and he's David's thinking, I can find something here. Will you lead me to this band of raiders? And the young man, this has always been fun throughout the whole scripture here. When somebody's always got a little deal, that I'll do this if you'll do this. He said, if you will take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them. Couple things I see here that jumped out. Number one, there's going to be a time, not too long, in fact, next week, you're going to read a story where another man in a similar looking situation comes to David with some information, and you're going to see the two different ways that David responds to a report of difficulty, loss, and war and problem. Remember this time, and remember how he takes him in. Well, it's not always the same. Why? Because David has discernment, and God is talking to him all the time. Here's another thing you need to remember. I wrote this in my margin. God may not use the person or the circumstance you might expect to fulfill this special need or dream. God told him, take your warriors there, take your men and do that. He's looking at how fit they are. We've got to find those people. And there's one little fella that people would discount. Many people probably walked past the guy laying on the side of the road because he was sickly. He didn't look like he could contribute. But something inside of David said, there's something in here. I need to get this here. And David ministered to him. Sometimes God will use circumstance and people that look highly unlikely, but God will do things that are miraculous and they're beautiful. It's a great, great story here. I love this thing. So he led David. They found the Amalekites spread across the fields. They were eating, drinking, dancing. Again, I told you, they were without purpose. Remember? They were just all over the place. They were drunk. They had their plunder. They were all scattered there. They were not unorganized. But David's boys had purpose. They were going. They were going after it. And so they found them. They were dancing with all the stuff they had taken from the land. And in verse 17, David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout the night. I mean, they killed them all night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped the 400 men who fled on camels, except for the 400 young men. They overtook them and not a man escaped. Here's where the miracle is. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. Everything. This does not make sense. okay, God, I will pursue, I will overtake, but this is where the miracle is. It's untouched. They're untouched. The women are untouched. The cattle are untouched. The jewelry, everything, all the plunder, it is all there. It is untouched. This is the miracle there. It said, and he rescued his two wives. This must have been a very interesting moment right here. Who does he kiss first? Did you ever think of that? Come on. Who does he hug first? That'll tell you a whole lot. That'll tell you a whole lot. Do you think he heard about it from the other one? I just thought it was interesting, and God's laughing. You want the two wives? I'm going to give you what comes with it. Is what God is saying right there. Here's the miracle. Here's what I want you to grab today. Nothing was missing. Great or small, son or daughter, anything that had been taken, David brought back everything. And I wrote to me, wow. How's that for being theological? He also, listen to this, not only that, he also recovered all the flocks, the herds, his men, and drove them ahead of the livestock. Even the plunder belonged to David. David took extra money for his trouble. David came off, man, he's living large here. This is great. That's some great miracles right there. Two miracles. They recovered all. That was one miracle. The second miracle, nothing was missing. Well, here we are. It all can't be too good because David goes back. And remember the 200 guys that were laying on the side? I'm thinking, you know how we all think, you know, hey, they weren't there for the deal, but that's our stuff now. Well, David, we're learning not just a history story, we're learning a spirit that we should understand in our world today. But some evil troublemakers, remember our quote last week, you will always have what? Troublemakers. The troublemakers among said, they didn't go with us, don't give them anything. Verse 23, David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He's kept us safe. He helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Will you listen when you talk like this? We're going to share alike. Those who go in the battle and those who even guard the equipment. That is a kingdom principle. That's a kingdom principle. Those who come in even at the end of the war, they're going to receive a reward. You know, there's always a story when a team wins a Super Bowl ring or a World Series ring or whatever, a championship ring there. And there maybe were some people along the way that played and they got injured. They got injured and they couldn't make it, and what happened? They had to be put on injured reserve. They might have missed 10, 15 games of that season or most of the season. But when the time came to receive the ring, they got a ring because they were part of that. They were sweating in July. They were working in July. They were running pass patterns in the heat. They were doing those things. They were doing it when the time came and the team remembered. How much more will God remember those who are loving Him and serving Him? There are folks that are weary right now that love God and they just need to keep pressing because God knows, and they're not just a ring, but a reward when this is over. You are singing a kingdom principle here right now. Here, a future word, the future word, by the way, the future word that I told you, this concept is also mentioned in both Testaments. The future word that we're reading of what David said here, fast forward it to Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus is getting ready to send out the disciples. And Jesus said it this way, these 12 men were sent out, and Jesus said, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter the cities of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those who gave up and were weary. And as you go, preach, saying this, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. He said, why? Because freely you have received, freely give. What a great heart. This very act right here must have been very... Why? Because David was at this point in his life where he's still talking to God. God's still talking to him. And in verse 25, David creates precedent by saying, from then on, David made this decree and a regulation from Israel. It is still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah who were also his friends. Here's a present for you, taken from the enemies of the Lord. What kind of hope comes from a story like this? What kind of lesson comes from a story like this? It is a story, here's a new word for you, it is a story of restoration. God is a God of restoration. I went to the enemy's camp. I took what he stole from me. To those today who might be distressed, to those who might be discouraged, to those who are warring in their minds, to those who have been deserted, not only emotionally, but actually literally deserted, to those who have been cheated at and cheated on, those who have been lied about, those who feel that the clock and the calendar might have passed them by, those who have had one health battle after another, those who are always fighting the money battles, to those I say to you, you are a covenant person, remain faithful. The story of the restoration is bringing back that which was lost, and restoration brings it back better than it was before. David didn't just get what they took, he got the little lanyard extra on top. We've all worked through this. Linda told the story a few weeks ago when she was speaking about, let's just use health situations. We've had financial situations. We've had that miracles happen that we can't describe, and God did those things. And when God, you know, when God does it, you go, yeah, God did it. There's no chance of anything else. And there's been health situations. I told you the health situation that she went through. I had to sign the note. I had to sign the agreement that if they go in, they are probably going to take one of her kidneys out. And she's unconscious, and I had no other choice but to sign it. That's when I started inquiring of the Lord. And all I heard was keep inquiring. All I kept hearing was God is good, God is faithful. I remember when they put her on a stretcher and they were transferring her downtown in an ambulance. And she had, remember the Walkmans with the cassette tapes? And she asked for a Walkman. She was kind of in and out. She grabbed a tape. And you know her, you know the sweet, pleasant voice of Joyce Meyer, how soft it is. You know, it's like Joyce was talking here, Joyce's voice coming. I could hear it coming. And she was speaking into Linda about those things that the enemy had stolen from her. And the doctor comes out and he said, I don't know what to say. Here's the picture where this kidney's got to go. Here's the picture we just took. This kidney's fine. It's not going anywhere. I told you the story where I was told on two times, you're not going to sing, you're not going to speak again. Well, when you only know about singing and speaking, that's the one thing you just don't need to lose. You know what I mean? You don't need to lose that. And I remember being in a situation where I couldn't sing for 3 or 4 minutes without a choked throat, and I'd gone for weeks and gone for months, and it was awful. And I told you the story of the man that sat and he laid his big hand on me, and I didn't even know who he was, but he was my best friend on this planet right there. And I just met him, but the word of God was in that man. But he had a skill. And there's another story about how he learned to repair voices. And I got this tube up my nose, and it's down sitting on my voice box, and they're asking me to do stuff, and I'm looking at my voice box on video there, and the folds are not working right. It's a mess. I won't go into all the situation. Can you help me? All right. And he just laughed first. He laughed like it wasn't a big deal, and I didn't want him to laugh. I was in pain. I needed somebody, and I know there was a tear or two, and he took his big hand and he said, you're just going to be just fine. Just fine. And right about that point, see, I had been told 2 months before that I had nodules on the bottoms of my vocal cords. And I'm looking at my vocal cord, and I don't quite understand what I'm seeing. But I'm seeing it should be a symmetrical movement, but there was one side that had been lapping over because of problem, and it was totally dysfunctional down in there. And the doctor said, he's looking, and he said, when did you have your laser surgery? And the doctor said he didn't, and Mr. Dr. Tate said to him, he said he didn't have laser surgery, and he had this big bass bravado thing, and he says, I think another doctor has been operating on him. Bam! And when I heard that pursue, overtake, recover all, I was doing exercises and voices. I was going to 2 lessons a day, 45 minutes a lesson, and I was singing. I was hitting the back wall, and I was doing that. And that is in 1986, and I haven't lost it since. Amen. When you hear a word that energizes you, when she heard that it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right, God will take us through those things. You be encouraged. In Jesus' name, that's our testimony. I'm standing here saying to you that we have recovered all, and that is a God thing. It's a covenant promise, not just to me. It's a covenant promise to you because we are covenant people. Now, here's what I need you to do. Start thinking that way. You're thinking. Start thinking that way. I'm a covenant kid. I'm not. This doesn't mean that I've seen people say I'm a covenant, and they thought it was a license to be dumb, not to take care of business, not to take care of themselves, to presume on God, to be arrogant toward God. No, it means I'm a covenant person. He's expecting me to pursue and to overtake. The recover all is going to come together. So it doesn't mean to be permissive. It doesn't mean to do what I want. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I can do what I want. No, that's a permissive gospel. That's a carnal gospel. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ there. Pursue, overtake, recover all. Start thinking, I'm a covenant kid. But I have to tell you, there have been a time with a flat tire on the side of the road that I said, God, this isn't good for covenant kids. This is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. Or you're all ready and you got a brand new message you want to do, and you look at the radar when you wake up at 6 o'clock on you're hearing the thunder beating on your house on a Sunday morning, and you know, ain't none of y'all going to be here in the rain, but I got to go. I got to drive through it at the same time. God, we're going to have all those things. So we're in the home stretch. You ready for it? I told you this concept is a covenant thread throughout the Word. I already showed you in Matthew part of it. Joel chapter 2 said it this way of restoration. Fear not, O land. Talking to people of God. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Oh, you're going yippee, yippee, yippee. But y'all have hit some walls lately, haven't you? Don't be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. The tree bears fruit. A fig tree and a vine will yield their strength. Now notice here. All these are words of life, growth, and provision. You're seeing the fig tree springing up, the tree bearing fruit, the vine yielding forth. So again, covenant people start thinking in terms of life, words of life, words of growth, words of provision. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And then you're talking about the supply that comes forth, supplying the need. The threshing floors will be full of wheat. Now notice there's wheat. Notice that is a supply. That's nourishment. El Shaddai. There's going to be enough to supply. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. That is gladness. That is joy there. And I love words 2, 3, and 4. And it says so in the three words. I will restore. Yes. I told you about your thinking. This is the statement you need to get back into your spirit. The Lord will restore better than it was the year before. I've been told one time that I would not be standing before you like this. Guess what? I'm standing before. It wasn't by accident. I didn't sit on a tree waiting for a miracle to come by and happen. I got up. I started pursuing. I started overtaking, and God honored faithfulness. And you see what happens there. Get that in your spirit. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, all of them. And even the ones I haven't even named, he's saying, my great army I will send. When the war is done, you will eat plenty, be satisfied, to praise the name of the Lord your God, who's dealt wondrously with you, and my people will never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in your midst. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. But like the commercials. But wait, there's more. You ever heard that? And you order this right now, and all of these stuff. But wait, there's more. You want the more? And I will pour out my spirit. This will come to pass, he says. It's going to happen. Lord, what should I do? He said, yes, pursue, overtake. You will recover. This is the Lord speaking. It will come to pass. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'm still seeing visions, so I'm okay. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is what revelation and restoration looks like in a covenant person's life. Let's grab this. Let's run with it. And as we land this plane, let's remember, in contrast to Saul, remember what Saul did and how he responded, and every time things got nuts around him. Remember the contrast. David always went to the Lord first, and the victories are clear because of it. But there will come a point in David's story when he loses that heart, he loses that edge, he quits inquiring of the Lord. And we all get to that point when we feel like God will only call you in the emergency. David would feel self-sufficient. Things won't go well, but that's a story for another day. But in the meantime, I want you to run with one story, one statement, one thing that you can wear on your heart. Remember the word that says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. How many of you will say to me this morning, the Lord is your God? Put your hand up. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to put your name in this. I want you to say, but Linda found strength in the Lord her God. And there might be, I never thought of it. When I sat and I wrote this, I went, wow, that's how you know God spoke. You know how God speaks when it's smarter than you are. You got it? And I looked at it and I said, this is powerful. And in my mind, I actually saw you standing in a minute. And I saw you putting your name in that slot. And what this is doing, it's pulling it off the page. It's pulling it off the history. It's pulling it off the story. And it's planting it inside of you right now today. And I just want to encourage you because you're a covenant person. You're going through things. Those things are very real. I have a hard time dealing with people who's, oh, just snap out of it. But there are times you can't snap out of it. You've tried your best. There is no other answer. And you've just got to call God. You've got to inquire of God. You've got to encourage yourself. And by the way, they might take more than once. Yeah. Rinse and repeat. It may take more than once to get yourself tuned in right now. So you know what I want you to do in just a minute? We're going to do that. So I'm going to ask you to take God's word, to pursue, to overtake, recover all. I'm not denying what you're feeling. I'm not denying what you might be facing. But I'm saying to you right now, be encouraged in this word. I read a story the other day, and somebody said, how would you encourage someone? And the guy said it this way. He said, here's how I encourage you. He said, I want you, whatever you're doing today, do it with the confidence of a four-year-old in a Batman t-shirt. Is that cool? How many of you guys ever jumped off the couch with a towel tied behind your neck? I did that. I tried to fly. It doesn't work. I saw super. It did not work. I tried that. But boy, you walk out with confidence as like a four-year-old. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to that slide back there, and I want you to stand up. And as we get ready to walk out of this place in a minute, I want you to start making an affirmation. And I want you to say your name, but your name, Lynn. But your name, Lisa. But your name, Sylvia. Your name, Paul, for that thing in your back right now in Jesus' name. Father, right now, we just pray for Paul's back. That thing's been an ongoing. Jordan, put your hand on his back. Put your hand on his back in Jesus' name. Father, right now, Paul, this attack is demonic. This is not good. Father, right now, this is God's servant who serves you. And this pain right here, Father, we speak in Jesus' name. Paul, receive the word of the Lord. Receive the touch of the Lord right now. Let the covenant people come into agreement and pray for Paul right now. Lord, not only is he going to pursue the right thing, the right path, not only is he going to overtake it. And Father, I'm speaking the word, he recovers all in Jesus' name right now. He recovers all in Jesus' name right now. He recovers all. And who's here this morning and you physically, you need to recover all right now. You've lost some movement or you lost, stand up right where you are right now. Who else right now, you've lost, whether it's movement or something, stand up right now. And I speak to you, Iris, to that knee that we talked about a little bit earlier right there, to Sylvia right there, to each one of you back there who even is part of caring for other people in need, to each one of you, to a heart right now, to other things that are not working right. In Jesus' name, pursue, overtake, recover all in Jesus' name. Everybody stand to your feet. I want you to do this. I want you to do this right now. I want you to get ready to say that, and I want to put your name. I want to put your name in that, and let's see if you can do it. And I'd like you to just knock me down with it right now. Come on, an affirmation. You'd be yelling and screaming if you came home and the Amalekites had ransacked your house. You'd be screaming. But people say, well, you know, my religion is a private thing, and I just kind of keep it. You know, you'd be screaming, as grandma used to say, bloody murder right now. How many grandmothers used to say that all the time? I want you to open your voice right now to your physical need right now. I want you to put your right hand and say your name. But your name,
Linda,
found strength in the Lord, her God or his God. Do it again now without me. Go. But
Linda found strength in the Lord, her God.
Do it louder. I want to hear it louder. Go now. But
Linda found strength in the Lord, her God.
Louder. Come on.
But Linda found strength in the Lord, her God.
Yeah. So did Maverick. Yeah. Let me hear you. Come on, lift up a voice.